Four Down Territory with Doug and Wolf.
Take that, Paul. Even I didn't see it coming.
I was hoping with Four Down Territory, we would not be subjected to Lover Boy. This violates some sort of rule, if not just general good taste.
Let's go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Flash the 2 hour number two of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning on a Cowbell Friday. Slide on them Jordache jeans and take out that neon comb and brush back that Brillo hair, ladies and gentlemen. The party's not going to be the same without you. It's Friday night.
Yeah, right.
Here we go, Paul.
Yeah, because this is the way you match the physicality and intensity of a Seattle team that comes in 5-0 with a quarterback who has a passer rating of 130, a team that has jack-stomped you in your own building every year since Russell Wilson's rookie year 2012, and your answer, your antidote right now is Lover Boy.
Yes,
it was Paul. Soft 30 years ago.
Just eat it, Paul.
By the way, if you're wondering how your night went, I just saw a stat for a young man by the name of Andrew Thomas.
Oh.
Andrew Thomas, it says, the average offensive tackle, league average, succeeds on 87% of their pass sets. He succeeded on 43.8.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no.
He was 44% behind league average.
Oh, my goodness.
Hopefully, the three of us perform better in our version of Four Down Territory than Andrew Thomas did on almost every down last night for the New York Giants. By the way, remember, he was taken in front of Isaiah Simmons and Derek Brown. So, hopefully, Simmons is going to continue his development. Yeah. Here's today's question, which I really like. You stare down Cardinals, Seahawks, Sunday Night Football, and your four biggest matchups that you're staring down. We'll give you our four. You tweet us at DougAndWolf987 with your four.
First down.
You put them in order of what you think is the most important down. My first down, I don't know if he's going to travel yet. I think he will. But I'm going with the one that's easy. Pat P versus DK Metcalf. Pat P, what are you going to do? This is not one of the few guys that you don't match up well against because of his size. Are you going to be able to handle it? Because if they want to win, the best opportunity is 10v10 because you have shut down DK.
Hey, Pat P went against Megatron, Calvin Johnson. He doesn't sweat himself, no DK Metcalf. Let's hit zoom out on that. Cardinals secondary against Russell Wilson deep shots. SportsCenter flashed a stat last night. I did not know this about how good the Cardinals defense has been against chunk throws. Here's the number. Cardinals opponents this year, when throwing 15 yards or more, are just 6-for-33 with zero touchdowns and two picks. If you can continue that sort of performance.
Well, I can think of like three long bombs from Russell right now this year.
So if you can do that against Russell Wilson, because they've been living and feasting on the deep shot, Seattle's offense, and boom, you're going to win this game.
No doubt, Paulie, right here. My matchup, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Peterson and DK Metcalf. Yes, indeed. Metcalf went from being almost a third-round pick to being a top-10 pick in the 2019 redraft. Stop and think about the way this guy has produced. DK Metcalf went from scorn to superhero, but Pat P shut him down. Shut him down the last time they played, and he's going to have to do it again.
Second down.
It really says it on my sheet, even though it sounds a lot like Paul. Buddha versus Russell. Buddha versus Russell. Buddha, here you go. Deep shots, but also containment. Are you going to blitz? Are you going to keep him in front of you when you blitz?
Are you going to spy?
Are you dropping down? What is Vance Joseph going to do with you? And you have shown us your high level of football IQ, and yet it can be matched by Russell, Buddha. How are you going to handle the eyes of Danger Russ?
Cardinals run game against that Seattle soft defense. Oh, the last time the Cardinals went up to Seattle in their last meeting, 40 carries for 253 yards as a team. And it wasn't just the run game. It was running straight at the Seahawks, including catch and runs like Larry Fitzgerald trucking KJ Wright at the goal line on the 21-yard touchdown run. Run straight at him, says Paulie Pigskin.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Four down territory. My second down of four down territory has got to be Kyler Murray plus DeAndre Hopkins versus the Seahawks pass defense. Are you kidding me right now? They give up more yards on a weekend, Paul, than Dublin. But no, Paul, hit it.
Come on.
They can't stop you from throwing the ball. They don't get a ton of pressure on the queue. They can't get off the field. The only things they do well are stop the run and take the ball away from you. So throw the ball. Be accurate with the ball. Throw the 50-50 ball, Kyler. That's my second down.
Third down.
Matt just tweeted the show. Matt, you listened to way too much Paul's call. He says Coach K versus Double Rainbow.
Oh.
Way too much Paul's call in your life,
That's
Matt.
Actually next. That's third down, Matt.
That's what I see. Yeah. I got Kyler versus his accuracy. Kyler, what's happened? What's happened? This is officially a thing now. It's not a problem, but it's a thing. It goes thing, issue, problem. We're at thing right now.
Right.
What are you going to do to fix it? What are you going to do, Kyler? You have a thing, and it's inaccuracy. Fix it before it becomes an issue.
Third down, Cardinals against the juice.
Whoa!
Okay, we're talking Coach Double Rainbow.
Double Rainbow, oh my
Look
God.
Look what you did, Matt.
He's going to bring the juice. He's going to bring the culture that everybody speaks about. He's going to bring a Seahawks team that's going to celebrate on your side of the field in front of your sideline. They're going to bring the intensity like they do every single year since 2012.
Whoa, that's so intense.
Can you match it? Only once have the Cardinals matched it, and it was the 6-6 slugfest in 2016. That was the last time the Cardinals were on Sunday Night Football. That's the kind of physicality and juice they have to bring to match Seattle.
Okay, based on needs, my third down of four down territory is the Cardinals pass rush, the pressure they can bring against the Seahawks pass pro. That's right, it isn't any different up there in the Emerald City, ladies and gentlemen. Russell Wilson is still getting knocked to the ground and knocked down and beat around. The Arizona Cardinals, number 9 in sacks per attempt, and the Seattle Seahawks, number 26. Number 26. And Russell Wilson still gets knocked down an awful lot. Number 31 in third down offense. Think about that. The Seattle Seahawks. How can you be so prolific and yet so bad on such a critical down as third down?
They've never figured out their offensive line in a decade.
Vance Joseph has got to scheme and bring that pressure package knowledge. Five men, you just don't know which five he's bringing.
Fourth down.
Since fourth down is for special teams, it's not nearly as important as the other three.
Oh.
But I'm going with Kenyon Drake versus his mother. Mama knows best, Kenyon.
I see.
You got to put it on film for 4 weeks that you're willing to truck somebody, and then people will start breaking down a little worried, and then you can go back to the zigzag. This is only week two of you putting it on film. Don't look left. Don't look right. Go north, young man.
All right, everybody's looking at DK Metcalf. I get it. You guys started with DK Metcalf, and he leads the NFL in yards per reception and, what, second in yards per game and all this, and 19 of his 22 catches have been for first downs. And all meanwhile, everybody's looking at the guy who's 6'4", the chiseled specimen, and stinking Tyler Lockett comes out of the slot and beats you deep or beats you all over the field. Byron Murphy against Tyler Lockett is going to be the game within the game, within the pass defense game that the Cardinals are going to have to be aware of. That's my fourth down.
Okay, Basonians, my fourth down in four down territory. Russell Wilson versus Kyler Murray. The quarterback that plays better will win this game. There can only be one.
A bench, hit the close.
Why do we always save this sort of BS for when I'm here? That is the way to come full circle after starting with Loverboy. You're right, Mitchapalooza. You're absolutely right. Well done.
Coming up next, after Sunday night, who is going to be the true comp? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is well done, my roommates.
Pretty amped up today, not going to lie.
Here we go now. Gather around the transistor and press the ear, baby. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning. This was it right here, babe. This was it. This was, man, it's time to go play a football game right now. A little kick start my heart. What do you care to go ahead and tee up a pigskin, ladies and gentlemen? Then we'll bring some weird guy in with a funny face mask and a weird last name, and he'll kick that thing off, and we'll run down the field like a bunch of savages and bury our head into a man the size of Saturn's third moon.
Was that a Stoyanovich shot or something like that?
Big fat man at 357 pounds. Did I hurt you? Wheezing on the ground with your broken ribs. Here we go. We're gonna have a brawl come Sunday night, are we not? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Arizona Cardinals hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Time to ball out in front of a grateful nation. Come on! How? You want to just get to it again? You want to get to it again? Is that, you haven't had enough? Is that what you're saying? Wow! Bro, we shall then. One of the best things about playing the game, my brothers, the fact that you could lose it. And did often.
I just didn't want to, you know, get in front of that.
I'm on the train.
You know, I just felt like I'll just let the train go by here for a second.
Die, metaphorically speaking.
Of course.
He really presents ultimate challenges. There's only a couple guys like him that are playing this league because of the explosive speed that you see. This year, more than last year, he just looks more in command of the game. He's making really good choices to take advantage of his ability to run. He's averaging 11 yards a scramble, you know. So that's really huge numbers. He's had some big plays with those opportunities. So, and he's really smart about it. He does a really good job of not getting hit. You can barely lay a glove on the guy. And so he's got great awareness about it, you know, what he can do and what he can get away with and all that. And he's really difficult. He's a really difficult factor for their team. And as he continues to grow and he's playing really well in the red zone, that's a real indicator, that a young quarterback's really coming on. He's going to be difficult.
That's Pete Carroll just gushing over the fact that he now has to face Russell Wilson for the first time in Kyler Murray.
How about it?
And if you think red zone offense is important, how futile did Daniel Jones look at times last night? How futile did some of the plays of Carson Wentz inside the 10 look? And how easy does it seem when Kyler's got the ball inside the 10?
No, you're right about that, Douglas. It really is. But I'm just so excited about this because now the Seattle Seahawks have to deal with what we've had to deal with Russell Wilson for so many years. There it is, 3rd and 11. Oh, he's going to pull the ball down and run for 12. Right? First down, move the chains. You did everything right on first down. You did everything right on second down. And it was 3rd and 11.
And for the first 4 seconds of 3rd and 11, you did everything right.
You did everything right. And he pulled the ball down and ran for 12. How many times? You can't even imagine, my brothers, the way that decimates a sideline. The way that just demoralizes a defense.
I'm assuming you as an offensive player, you're sitting there and somebody on the sidelines, you're probably watching the game on the big screen. You're done talking to people. And, oh, third down. So you go get your helmet. You go take one last drink of water.
Oh, yeah.
You get back up, okay? You start jumping around. First down. And then you put your helmet back, you sit back down, you went, and you do that three times a drive, you're sick of it.
It's absolutely crazy. It really is. And now the Seattle Seahawks and the 12s are going to have to deal with Kyler Murray doing the exact same thing, pulling it down when all is lost. It looks like you did everything you could on first and second down, and now suddenly here it is, third and 10, and he converts with his legs. It's demoralizing. I just love the fact that now they've got to deal with what we've had to deal with for years.
Mark Schlereth, Super Bowl-winning offensive lineman, was on with Bickley and Murata. I think it was Wednesday. And I thought he said a cool phrase. There's so many different ways to say this that you've heard it before. But it was kind of cool when he said above the X's and O's.
Kyler Murray's a guy that plays above the X's and O's. So, like, even on Monday night, he wasn't playing very well. He was late with a couple of balls. He was inaccurate with some of his balls. But he is so dynamic a player, right? I mean, he's just that guy that, you know, okay, so this isn't working well. This isn't working well. Well, I can beat you with this. And I love that about him. I mean, you know, the other thing is every time he comes out, I just think Mighty Mouse, you know, here it comes. This is the day. And I think of, every time I watch him run, it's like his upper body doesn't move and his little feet are going.
Wait a minute.
They're just going a mile a minute. Uh-huh.
Wait a minute,
a dynamic
Mark.
Player. And when things aren't going his way, he'll find a way to make plays like he did on Monday night.
Man, that was original by Mark Schlereth. That's a great way to
First
phrase
of all,
it.
I agree with you. I love the above the X's and O's. What he's talking about is scheme, ladies and gentlemen. He impacts a game, and you don't have to run a play. He impacts a defense immediately. He does. It's Kyler Murray. His mere presence. He plays above the X's and O's. It's a situation where every defensive coordinator that comes into the game has got to figure out one thing. How are we going to defend Kyler Murray? And how are we going to defend DeAndre Hopkins? Those two things are in unison as far as I'm concerned. But the fact that he said Mighty Mouse right there, the mighty Kyler Murray, that's my nickname for him, the Mighty.
No. He said,
"Mighty Mouse, you know, here it comes."
And then he did the.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Anyways, it was just listen.
Every time I watch him run, it's like his upper body doesn't move, and his little feet are going.
Okay. All right. I love steak. I do. I always have, ladies and gentlemen. But it's not surprising. Hey, will you stop it, please? I'm trying to make a point. The point is that. I mean, honestly, there it is.
But yours is here I come in, coach, and you're excited.
I could not make that noise again if I tried to. I have no idea what I was doing.
It's two different noises, though. The feet of Kyler is... But you are the motivated special teams guy. Here I come, coach.
Oh, my goodness. Coach told me to get off the field, and, you know, that's what I did. Ran off the field. Where was I? What were we talking about?
Just
Kyler Murray, the incredible Kyler Murray.
We talk about this. That was it. That was
the mighty Kyler Murray.
We got about 20 minutes, and then we've got an exclusive. Head coach Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, will join us. I'm just so, you know, messed up by that. That was the sound of my brain when I said
Mighty
head coach.
Mighty Mouse stink. Really?
He's coming up in about 15 minutes. Up next, we're going to look at the game plan for the Arizona Cardinals and some of the other things with DK and Pat P. What will Wolf watch? Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We like playing with bright lights. Let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games. Yeah.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Seahawks Cardinals on Sunday night on NBC.
It'll be a great game, great matchup. It'll be a physical game.
Are you ready for football? Let's go!
NFC West battle, and we're looking forward to it. I know they are, too.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks.
Time coming up in about 10-12 minutes, and then you hear the Sunday night music. the voice of Sunday Night Football on NBC, Al Michaels, at 9 o'clock this morning.
Really looking forward to that conversation with Al.
If you are not familiar with the times where the Cardinals were reasonably a repeat performer on Sunday Night Football. I mean, I'm not talking to the level of East Coast teams or Seattle or now the Chiefs, the Patriots, things like that. Al Michaels loves Ron Wolf.
It is off the charts. No, he doesn't.
The way how excited Al gets to talk to Wolf.
All right.
So that will happen. You'll be able to hear the gushing from, from Al.
Stop it.
Yeah. This is kind of an interesting focus for the Arizona Cardinals, as Vance Joseph did a nice job against Andy Dalton. Some people gave him the game ball for what they did against the Dallas Cowboys. And who knows who's better, Cowboys offense with Dak Prescott, not Dalton, or the Seahawks offense right now. But they're pretty darn close.
What will Wolf watch?
Wolverine versus Victor Creed, a.k.a. Pat P.
DK Metcalf is taking the NFL by storm the way the Wolverine took over the X-Men universe. Metcalf believes his alter ego is Wolverine and fills the suit out much better than Hugh Jackman. DK even signs merchandise with Wolverine in quotations. The comparisons are rather obvious. Metcalf is 6'3", 230 pounds, doesn't have a shred of fat on him, and uses his hands for a living. Wolverine is 5'3", and weighs 300 pounds because of his adamantium bone structure and uses his hands to attack villains. Wolverine has regenerative powers that allow him to heal quickly from life-threatening wounds, and DK Metcalf healed quickly from knee surgery in the preseason of his rookie year. It's why he adopted the alter ego, inspiration for getting his career jump-started. Although one is real and the other a figment of imagination, both are dominant personalities in their respective genres. When the Cardinals line up to ball out the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football, the self-proclaimed Wolverine will line up as one of the most dangerous wide receivers in the National Football League. And across from him will most likely be his nemesis, Sabretooth, a.k.a. Victor Creed, a.k.a. Patrick Peterson. Wolverine and Sabretooth grew up in the same home, and Pat P and DK grew up in the same conference, the ninth division of the NFL, the SEC. Pat P is moving into the last quarter of his career, while DK is midway through his first quarter. Sabretooth is the older half-brother of Wolverine, and the battles between the two are well-documented in Marvel Comics legend and lore. And this will most likely be the tip of the claw when the league's top scoring offense takes on the league's number two scoring defense. The Wolverine versus Pat P. Sabretooth versus DK Metcalf. Wherever Metcalf goes, Peterson will follow. Some call this traveling with a wide receiver. Some call it a shadow. Others a ghost. Whatever the term, it's the ultimate sign of respect for the receiver. A telltale sign of making it big among the best of the best, especially when a future Hall of Famer is the one ghosting you. In a comic book exaggeration of the truth, this game for the Cardinals defense could come down to this matchup. On Monday night, Pat P ghosted Amari Cooper for most of the game until it got a little sideways, and Pat P won that battle hands down. It's not a coincidence. The Cardinals' defense also had its finest showing of the season. Vance Joseph schemed his way into pressuring Andy Dalton, and he'll need to do the same against Russell Wilson, or should I say Cyclops. Cyclops was the greatest leader of the X-Men, and Russell Wilson will continue to have laser-like vision on Wolverine come Sunday. Is it too strong to say if Pat P wins this matchup, the Seahawks won't score 30 points? And if the Seahawks don't score 30 points, they won't win this game? Is it too strong to say that? I don't think so. Therefore, knowing how many times Wolverine and Sabretooth have killed each other over the years since their debut in 1970, be prepared to marvel at the comic-like characters we see during primetime in front of a grateful nation. Be prepared.
Did you say the magic word of shadow?
The shadow knows.
What it means when, what does it mean to you, DK, when they put someone on you to shadow you, their best corner against you?
In my mind, I feel like, you know, I must be doing something right. But, you know, I know it just opens up the offense even more for guys like Tyler, Freddie, and Demo just to really show what they can do. And, you know, we won't have that problem for weeks to come because, you know, they'll have to pick their poison.
Would you classify it as fun?
Oh, yes, sir, because, you know, he studied me. I've studied him. And, you know, it's just a big matchup that, you know, we're going to see who wins.
I hope Pat P. travels. I do.
I do, too. I hope that happens.
I hope he demands to travel.
Vance Joseph, by the way, says it won't happen, which makes me think it will. Again, no offense to Vance Joseph at all, but why in the world would you tell your opponent what it is you're going to do? You wouldn't. That's the answer to that. I'm going to be very, very interested to see if, in fact, Pat P. does travel with DK Metcalf, because Tyler Lockett is no slouch either. He isn't. But this is going to be a huge matchup right now, because when you look at DK Metcalf and you look at Russell Wilson and the chemistry these two have, especially down the field, I'm talking chunk throws, Douglas, like you can't even believe. You need your best on DK Metcalf at all times.
I have a hugely important question for you. Would you rather spend more time talking to me or the general manager of the Cardinals?
Let's talk to the general managers of the Cardinals. Yes, that would be.
They are on Sunday Night Football. Do they embrace the pressure? Our exclusive conversation with the Cardinals general manager, Steve Keim, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Calm down.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim.
Keim time.
With Doug and Wolf. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
This is when the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals talks to Doug and Wolf, but more importantly, talks directly to you, the fans of the Arizona Cardinals. Steve, good morning. It's not going to be a lot, but it's kind of exciting. You got fans coming to the game on Sunday night. How you feeling today?
Good morning, man. Very excited. Fun to be back home after two road wins. Yesterday, Michael Bidwell called Cliff and I. It was around mid-morning. Let us know that our game had been moved to Sunday Night Football. So Fred Gedeli, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, doesn't get any better than that.
Tell me. Sunday Night Football. You heard the kind of the comments of Cliff Kingsbury after your last win in Dallas, in which he says, we do well under the lights. If you want to play in more of these games, let's keep earning it. And you already did a week later. Do you feel the juice of Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I think any time that you play on national TV under the bright lights, it gets the juices flowing, and we have a lot of talented players that enjoy that atmosphere. You know, guys like Kyler and DeAndre and Pat and Larry, those guys have always excelled on prime time, and really excited to have that opportunity this week.
So leading up to Sunday Night Football, talk to us about the six games that you've seen from your team, and where do you think you guys are right about now, Steve?
Well, you know, I'm happy with the 4-2 record. I think organizationally we're really proud of what we've accomplished so far, but you know, I wouldn't say we are satisfied. I mean, I don't think we'll ever be satisfied until we win a championship. But I feel like we've made progress. Still disappointed with some of the miscues. There's times where execution is not as good as we would like. And there's no doubt that the penalties, the situation has got to improve. I mean, that has really been a sticking point with me. And I know Cliff is trying to drive that point home, that we have to try to play mistake-free football, especially to have success with teams like Seattle coming in.
When you dominate a team offensively the way you did Dallas, and yet your quarterback completes nine passes, how do you process that?
You know, I think it's the NFL. I think they get paid too, and there are times that other parts of your team have to step up, and I think that happened this past Sunday. I thought we were extremely physical up front, dominant at times across the offensive line. Thought we ran the ball really effective. I thought Kenyon Drake did a great job getting north and south and running with the physicality that, I know he can run with. Chase Edmonds comes in and does a great job. But kudos to our offensive line. Those guys have played fantastic, and I think all season have played extremely well. Again, you know, Justin Pugh has played as good as I've seen him play. Hump is playing really good. Mason's playing excellent football. And then I thought Justin Murray has stepped in and for Sweezy and has played really, really good football. And no doubt Sean Coogler should get a lot of credit for that.
You mentioned Drake there running north. Wolf and I have been talking a lot about a couple plays against the Jets. He runs laterally. He comes out for a play. Chase busts it right down the middle. Drake comes back in, goes aggressive north, and then he was all north all the time against Dallas. Was there a hardcore conversation with Kenyon Drake? Was it a reminder conversation? How did the fire get lit between coach, teammates, and Kenyon Drake to go north?
Well, I don't know if it's a fire lit. It's more about you know, fixing mistakes or being coached up on a daily basis. And I think James Saxon does an exceptional job. There's no doubt that, Cliff and Coach Sax emphasized last week that Kenyon get north and south. And sometimes players do things that maybe they don't understand when they're doing that at that time. I mean, guys that have his kind of speed think that they can bounce and outrun everything. We know Kyler does that sometimes with holding the ball too long and trying to use his feet to escape. You just got to be able to coach these guys day in and day out and correct poor habits. And I'm not saying Drake has a poor habit of running, east and west, but it's just a correctable thing that I feel like our coaching staff did an excellent job teaching last week. And I think he had, 160-some yards against Dallas, so there's no doubt that he made some improvement.
Steve, watching Kyler Murray last year, I never thought to myself, man, he's got an accuracy issue. He's got an accuracy issue. I never thought of that. And even this year, in 2020, I've seen him throw some inaccurate balls, but I never thought, man, he's got an accuracy issue until he overthrew Larry Fitzgerald in the back of the end zone wide open here. Are you concerned at all about the accuracy with Kyler Murray?
I watched every throw that he made in college. I've watched every throw in practice and in the NFL that he's been an Arizona Cardinal. I don't think it was his best game last week, and there were some mechanical flaws, but I have zero concerns with his accuracy. I think, if anything, that can be a strength. And, you know, it's one of those things that at times, as the casual fan or even myself, you know, you don't know that a receiver ran the wrong route or didn't have enough depth. That happens quite a bit, and that goes unnoticed, and that's the quarterback position. Those guys get all the credit, and sometimes they get most of the blame. So it comes with the territory, and I know Kyler will bounce back this week, and I feel like he's ready to go.
In that film study, Steve, did you see a trigger? Is it pressure up the middle? Is it when he rolls out? Is it a certain play or formation he struggles with? Is there anything you're seeing that triggers inaccuracy other than the game is hard?
I don't think so, because the one thing that Kyler has always been able to do is throw from different platforms, throw from different arm angles, throw from his feet not always be in the correct positions. That's just something that he can do because he's so dynamic and he has so much arm strength and so much arm talent. If anything, I think maybe he can get into some bad habits because he trusts his arm so much. But, you know, I think he's a player that's still growing, and, you know, I know he'll learn from his mistakes. But I just think that when you have a guy like him, there are going to be some games where, you know, he can beat you with different things. And that's why we fell in love with the player. I mean, look, last week we won, 38-10, and he was 9 of 24 or whatever it was. But at the same time, you can't put a value on what he did with his feet and his ability to eat up angles on the perimeter and how he can demoralize a defense on third and 10 plus whenever he can scramble and get the first down.
Steve, how is the relationship between Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins?
I think it's it's excellent. Yeah, I mean, I think that those guys truly admire each other. Now, at the same time, I think that they're both ultra competitors, which sometimes brings out the emotions. And I think that's a good thing in the game of football. You know, this isn't not everybody's cracked up to play this game, especially at this level. And you Wolf know more than anybody that sometimes, whether it's heated conversations, whether it's the emotions that come out, those are good things in this game.
It makes me laugh, Steve. It does. It actually makes me laugh because I think of how many times I almost came to blows with teammates.
What do you mean almost?
It actually did come to blows.
Come on.
Well, I mean, this is reality, man. This is a violent sport. I mean, this isn't kumbaya world.
We're talking to Steve Keim, general manager, Arizona Cardinals. We do it every Friday at 7:45. Steve, you know there's going to be an interesting storyline on Sunday, and it's going to be about Seattle drafts and your drafts. 2017, Seattle's on the clock. They could have drafted Buddha. They didn't. You nailed that pick. 2019, you're on the clock. You could have drafted DK Metcalf. You didn't. They did. And now these two are going to be going at each other quite a bit in this game. Do you spend more time studying why you got a pick right or studying why you might have missed on a pick?
Well, I'm certainly harder on myself for missing a pick, and that's just the nature of the business. I mean, it happens every year to every general manager. I mean, if you want to go through the list and talk about who's missed who, and I mean, it's there are a lot of game changers, and it's a challenging business. It's an inexact science, as I said many times, and believe me, if I miss on a player, there's nobody that's harder on myself. And you know, you can go through the history of our drafts and other teams' drafts, and like I said, you can point to different areas that teams have made mistakes. But I hold myself accountable. I make no excuses when we make mistakes, and you know, it's really on me.
Steve, the trade deadline looming right now. Are you guys doing anything? Do you have any deals right now that are imminent? Do you have any deals that you're working on right now with the trade deadline coming up?
Well, as always, Wolf, we are certainly doing our due diligence, and we've had several conversations. I wouldn't say there's any deals imminent, but you know, if there's an opportunity for us in the next couple of days to you know, make a trade that can improve our roster, you know, we'll certainly take that chance. But you know, it's like anything else. I mean, it takes two to tango, and these conversations are always ongoing.
Steve, how difficult is it to make a trade and gauge chemistry? Let's say there's a player who's playing in Florida and always upset about his contract, and now he gets moved. And then it's not going well in his new location, and he gets moved again. Yet you've got an injury to Chandler Jones and would love a pass rusher. Do you try to get in on that really hard, or are you a little worried about, wait a minute, if there's baggage here and baggage there, maybe I need to avoid it?
Well, I mean, I think that you always get excited about the opportunity to improve your roster. The problem that I think that you know, a lot of people don't think about is, what's the compensation you have to give up? What's the financial commitment? You know, as far as does the guy have any time left on his contract? Generally, there's more value, obviously, if a guy has multiple years left than if it's at a lower number. How is it going to affect the future? Is there guaranteed money that's tied into it? I mean, there's a million different moving parts that, you know, you just don't think about on a daily basis, that once you're in my position, you have to think about those things and how it'll affect your roster moving forward. And if the guy doesn't pan out, you gave up draft compensation and you're stuck financially. So there's a lot of things that you take into account, and if it makes sense, you know, you've seen in the past, DeAndre Hopkins, Chandler Jones, Carson Paul, whoever it was we drafted for, it made sense for us, and I think it worked out.
I loved seeing Isaiah Simmons actually get some reps at inside linebacker, and I loved even more the fact I saw him come downhill and play downhill as a downhill brother, man. How is Isaiah Simmons doing?
Yep, I thought he got some quality snaps. Certainly played a little bit more. There were some times where I felt like he was violent with his hands at the point of attack, which was encouraging. And as we've talked about many times on this show, he's continuing to grow. The more reps, the better it's going to be for him, and certainly like seeing him out there. I mean, he's a long guy that can really run. You saw him covering the seam route. It hit him in the back, and that being said, it was nice to see him running stride for stride with the tight end, which was certainly why we drafted him.
Did you expect Hassan Reddick to have the year he's having?
Well, you know, we took him in the first round years ago, and we knew that he had the skill set to play at this level, the talent, the athleticism, the speed. And, you know, this year he's doing a nice job of putting all those things together. He's rushing the passer, which he did in college. And I think that he's playing hard and he's working his tail off. So really, really proud of Hassan and excited for him.
Are you having dinner with Al anytime soon? Are you?
I'll tell you what, I'll have dinner with Al anytime I can. That guy is an absolute living legend, and there's no better storyteller than Al Michaels.
Well, good. We'll try to get some of those stories out of him at 9 o'clock. Steve, thanks for your time. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
That is your general manager of your Arizona Cardinals, who could win Sunday night and be only a half game out of first place if they're able to knock off the Seattle Seahawks. Steve Keim joins us every Friday at 7:45. Coming up next, how does what he said relate to winning Sunday night? We'll explain next on 98.7 FM.